Aha, it looks like we have our guest. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Before we start anything, how is my sound quality? Because I'm using a new microphone and I can only hear through the headset.
It's perfect.
Okay. All right. Okay. So 10 o'clock on the dot. I love that. Good morning. And how was your morning so far?
My morning so far has consisted of breakfast and coffee and letting the dog outside.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a typical morning for just about everybody. We don't have a dog. I didn't have coffee this morning, but I am drinking and sipping on my tea right now.
There you go.
All right. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? I've done some promos, so people have heard your name in the air. And again, I just want to welcome Donna. She's going to be giving us some good personal information. I hope you guys listen in. I hope you guys are able to absorb some of the information. I hope that you learn something and be able to maybe apply some of what she's talking about to your everyday life. All right, Donna, you could tell us a little bit about yourself, and the mic is yours.
Thanks. I'm Donna. I'm 61 and a half. The reason that I volunteered to be your first guest is the fact that, you know, we've had some serious illness in the family over the last couple of years. My son-in-law and his wife, my oldest daughter, were both diagnosed with different forms of cancer within 2 years of each other. My son-in-law in 2021 and my daughter in 2022. So it's been quite the roller coaster. And I just wanted to come on here and talk about, you know, what that's been like as a parent, as a caregiver, as a loved one who's supporting the family members, and, you know, give a little bit of insight, and hopefully people can take what they need from that and understand how difficult it is to be dealing with a serious illness, particularly with COVID and other issues where, you know, you might not be able to be physically present. So that's basically it.
Okay. All right. So you can start wherever you feel comfortable.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll start with basically with my daughter, because I was much more involved in that process, obviously. She was diagnosed at a much later stage than my son-in-law was. She had or has triple negative breast cancer, and she was diagnosed at stage 3. So that was quite terrifying, honestly. I remember when I got the phone call from her, literally screaming in my car the whole way home. I don't remember the drive. I'm just screaming, keep it together the whole way home. There's that kind of thing is really devastating. And, you know, the quicker that you can talk to somebody about that, the better, because it really will enhance your coping skills. So, you know, I used our employee assistance program and started talking to somebody pretty quickly, because that stuff is overwhelming, because you don't know. The next thing that happens is you get a lot of information thrown at you really, really, really fast. And like with my son-in-law, he had to go in and do it all on his own, because he was diagnosed right in the middle of the worst part of COVID. And, you know, my daughter had to sit outside in the car and listen basically on her iPhone to everything that the doctor was saying. She was more fortunate in that I went in with her, but a lot of information gets thrown at you right all at once, and you're still like, what's going on, and you're in shock. So it's really important to take notes and to ask questions and to call people back. You know, if you don't understand something, to call back right away, you know, and write down your questions, because there's just so much that gets thrown at you. There's, you know, you have to see this, you have to make this appointment for this, you have to go here for your labs, you've got to do this and that. And it's crazy. And then, you know, just the next thing that happens is, you know, you decide when to tell your friends and family and how to do that. And I can tell you firsthand that repeating the story gets overwhelming, because when you talk about it, you're back in it again, if that makes any sense. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I have a pretty large family on my husband's side of the family, and, you know, there's 7 siblings and all kinds of, you know, nieces, nephews, grandkids, you know, everything. I'm like, we don't want to be calling everybody individually and telling them, because that would just be incredibly stressful. So I think it's really important you can designate some point people for certain people in your family that you tell, and then they can get the message out to other people. And it just relieves a lot of stress, because you're not continually repeating the story over and over again. And we were very fortunate. We had 2 people on my husband's side of the family that were willing to take on that job and keep everybody informed. And that worked out really, really great. The other thing that you've got to be mindful of as a parent or a potential caregiver for someone with cancer is that, you know, it's their story, it's their illness, and they get to decide when, who, where, how they want to tell people. So, you know, as much as you might feel incredibly stressed and burdened with this news, you can't say anything until they do. And they can tell you, you know, yeah, it's all right to go ahead and say something and move forward like that. So you have to let the person with the illness kind of guide you with that. Actually, you have to let them guide you and be very respectful of that. And then, you know, the next biggest thing is, you know, you get a whole outpouring of, oh, let me know if I can help, I'm here for you. And that's wonderful at the beginning because you're in it and it's horrible. But then it fades off. So, you know, you're going to chemotherapy appointments with your loved one, and you're involved in your day-to-day stuff, and, you know, things might go wrong. You know, people with chemotherapy have complications or can have complications. Most people do have at least one. And then, you know, you don't have anybody to talk to because everybody's going about their lives, and it's isolating because, you know, with someone in chemotherapy, you have to be careful who how you associate with people, when, because you can't get them sick and they can't get sick. So they might not be working, depending on what their job is, and they might be out of work for a really long time. And, you know, my daughter was 29 when she was diagnosed. She couldn't see any of her friends. She couldn't go out and do the things that, you know, a young adult would like to do with their husband. They were very, very isolated and, you know, had been even the year prior, not just because of COVID, but because her husband had been sick. He's in remission. He's doing great, by the way. But, you know, it's so isolating. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, yeah, I'm there for you. But then no one calls. No one checks in on you. And, you know, I made that pretty clear to my friends, check in on me every once in a while. I might not be okay. And, you know, some people did and some people didn't, but it's very, very, very isolating to be a family member or a caregiver of someone with cancer who doesn't have friends to talk to or things to do, because people go about their lives and they think, oh, they'll reach out if they need something. Well, no, because you're in it and you're just trying to survive it and figure out what your next steps are. You're not thinking about calling somebody to say, hey, I need help. You're just trying to figure it out. And so it's just really important for your friends to call you, to check in, to say, hey, how are you doing? Is everything okay? Because, you know, it might not be. And then, you know, nothing actually prepares you for when you're actually in the caregiving process. But I'll stop there. Do you have any questions or any comments that you want to make about what I've said so far?
I do, because a lot of the stuff that you're talking about, it hit home as far as when my husband was sick and he was in the hospital for those 45 days when he had the tumor. And one of the things that really that you reminded me of is that it's his story. Right. So yep. He should be able to tell when and where and how and all of that, even though it has been 11 years, the 17th of this month that wow. He had surgery. People who haven't seen him in 11 years or people who've seen him and have never had the opportunity to get close and ask questions are asking, like, what's wrong with your hip? Because they think it's a hip problem. And I'm standing and I'm watching him because he has told that story so many times. Yep. And it always, like you said, it brings you back to the day that it happened. It's his story. But I want to jump in so bad and just finish the story for him. I just want to say, look, this happened. This is this. But you gave me a good piece of information. Glennis, step back. It's not your story. He may not even want to tell that story that day.
Right.
You know, you don't know. So that is some good advice. That's something that I picked up and I'm going to have to work on.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it, you know, you forget, we're all human. We don't stop to think about stuff like that. And we're trying to be helpful, particularly if we're married to them or a parent exactly. of them. Mm-hmm. You're trying to be helpful, which may not be helpful, ultimately. You know, I struggled with that for a while because I'm, and you know, you've known me for quite a few years. I'm the type of person, I'm pretty blunt about, you know, how I feel and what I think, and I like to talk. So, right. You know, that part, it wasn't like super hard for me, but you know, I had to remember, this is my daughter and my son-in-law. These are adults. It's their thing. They get to decide, you know, what they want to do with it. And, all I had to do was decide, you know, how I was going to fit in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, help them. That was my role, as I saw it, to just be there, to help and, you know, not just to wait for them to say, hey, I need this or I need that, but offer something like, you know, do you need your father to come over and mow the lawn? Do you right. need, you know, do you need me to, you know, order groceries for you? Do you need me to come? Do you need me to come over and clean the house for you? Do you need, you know, what, you know, like, how can I help? I just try to think of what I might need and, you know, offer that. And, you know, sometimes we got taken up on it and sometimes we didn't. There were a few things that I did that I just like, I'm doing this and you can like it or not, but I'm doing it anyway. With regard to, like, you know, some bills we took over for a little while, just because it made me feel better to do it. But you know, the other thing is, I know what I was going to talk about. It's off track a little bit, but insurance is a wonderful thing until it's mm-hmm. not, because okay. we, you know, here you are, you're in the middle of the worst moments of your life, and you've got to worry about whether or not a test is covered. You know, PET scans were ordered so that they could figure out where this disease had migrated to. And the insurance company was like, no, you we're not going to approve that. You need an MRI. Well, an MRI is not state-of-the-art technology anymore. PET scan is. And when you're dealing with an aggressive form of cancer like triple-negative breast cancer is, you want state-of-the-art, up-to-the-minute technology. And the doctor is not going to order a test that they don't feel their patient needs. And then you've got insurance companies who aren't treating the patient, who don't know the patient, making decisions that could potentially kill the patient. And that's added stress. I remember my daughter calling me and going, what if I can't get this test? And I said, no, you'll get the test. We will figure it out one way or another. But it was one more thing. And I swear to the Lord that stress, if it doesn't cause these illnesses, it makes them 50 million times worse, because you've got cortisol dumping into your system constantly, and it's bad for you. That's just my, you know, my conspiracy theory opinion, I guess. But, you know, stress can hinder recovery. It can hinder a lot of things, and it can kill you. So, you know, why is an insurance company making these decisions for someone who is in the middle of the of a literal battle for their lives? They don't need that kind of stress. And that really made me very angry. You know, it's like, we pay a lot of money for our health insurance. We should be able to get the treatment our doctor prescribes.
Exactly. I agree with that. That I don't think that they have the right to overturn something that a doctor is saying that you need. And like you said, you are at a pivotal moment in your health life with a big crisis. And then now you have to fight with them, and you almost need a patient advocate.
Yeah. And that's
to walk alongside you to make sure that everything is being done for you 100%.
Yes, I agree. And that, you know, when you're talking about, you know, a caregiver role with someone with cancer, that's kind of what you have to do as well. And then you have to be able to sit down and help them figure out finances too. I know we decided pretty early on, hey, you know, we're gonna, you know, you can be an advocate for me, and I'll make sure that it's okay for everybody to share information with you, because, you know, when you're a cancer patient, you're just trying to get through your day and rest and recover from, you know, your treatments. I mean, chemotherapy is poison. And right. it takes the Mickey right out of you. And everybody responds to it differently, but it's still a big deal. And, you know, you just need to rest and recuperate. You do not need to be worrying about anything other than getting better. And so, absolutely, I agree with you. A patient advocate is absolutely what's needed. And then, you know, you get through chemotherapy, and then, you know, surgery was the next step with this. And, you know, I took family medical leave, and I spent, I think, just over a week there.
Hello? Okay, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Donna. It was very interesting and very enlightened. I took a couple of good notes for myself that I just want to reiterate. One is to take notes and ask questions when you're dealing with your doctors and your surgeons. And it's always a good idea to bring one or two extra people with you, because when you are consuming information from the doctors, sometimes you are so anxious and so nervous and you have anxiety that you can't really understand all the things that they're telling you to do. So it's always good to have someone else with you taking notes and asking questions, and make sure you get the doctor's contact information for questions that you may have after or before your procedure. You also want to try to make sure to designate a person that can give the medical information to others. Sometimes it's already overwhelming when you are a patient or your close family member is a patient and getting all the phone calls and the text messages and so forth. Maybe you could set up a social media page on Facebook or wherever your family gathers and kind of put all the information in there as you get it daily. And that way you can update the people who you choose daily with what's going on with the patient. I thought that was really something that she hit on that really made a lot of sense. And we need to remember, and sometimes I'm not good at this, is that the patient is the person who tells the story. Let the person who you are caregiving for let you know what information you can give and what information they don't want out there, who you should talk to or who you can talk to and who they don't want to know. You don't want to go over and beyond disrespecting a patient's privacy by telling their story to any and everybody that you want to tell it to because you're so overwhelmed. You want to be respectful and do their wishes. If they don't want anyone to know, you want to keep that secret. If they only want a few people to know, you want to keep that secret. So you want to be able to give all the respect and the honors and the storytelling to the patient and respect whatever they tell you because it is their story and it is their body. Those were some good points that I thought she made that really stuck with me, and if I ever have to caregive for someone that's going through any kind of major medical major medical surgery or procedures, I want to be able to respect those wishes, and I want to make sure that we have pen and paper and that we're asking a lot of questions to the healthcare providers to make sure we fully understand what's going on. And as a caregiver, don't be afraid. She also mentioned about reaching out for help. It's nothing wrong with reaching out to your human resources and finding out what kind of help you guys have that will help you be a successful caregiver. You know, a lot of companies have different things that's under your health care insurance that you may not even know about. So reach out to your human resource department and find out what resources are available to you as a caregiver so that you can maintain being healthy and your sanity as you are caring for others. So the interview went well. At the end of the interview, we did have like a little technical problem that I'm not sure I was able to delete off. The phone cut off and we will be doing a part two. But you can leave your comments by audio on this platform, or you can reach out to me on the Medical Moments 917 on Facebook or on Instagram and let me know what you thought of this interview. If there's any suggestions or any advice that you have that we didn't touch on, because we're here for learning, but we're not here for badgering. We're not gonna tolerate any negativity. We're not gonna facilitate any forum that's using any kind of negativity on this platform at all. You will definitely be deleted and erased. So I'm letting you know that up front. So if you have any positive responses that you would like to share, any positive suggestions that we did not touch on, or if you yourself would like to be a guest on our forum, please reach out and let us know. Have a wonderful day.